All right, we're going to talk about one group of beings that happens to be one of my favorites. I have personal relationship with that particular soul group. They are called Kishans. You probably never heard of them, and that's okay. They don't commonly interact with this planet. They don't have spaceships. They don't have any technology in a sense that people talk about, but they do exist, and they are awesome beings. All right. A little bit of a history here to help you understand who Kishans are. Long time ago, before this planet had this cycle of incarnations. So this earthling soul group that came into human bodies, that happened at some point, right? Before that, they were Namlu'u, which are the multidimensional humanoid bodies. Before that, earthling soul group was not on Earth. It was in the sun. But Earth was not empty before that. So originally, every planet that has a simulation on itself that's choosing to create a world. So our being at the time was Gaia, who was, you know, new and ready to create a simulation, and she built her own parameters sort of for that. Every time a new being builds a simulation like that, they have the right to create species that is completely their own. So that would be the species that is not in any way interfered with or sourced by or seeded by something external. So in other words, it's a species that the planet births instead of like an evolution within the planetary parameters. Instead of, let's say, some other civilization coming in, leaving some of their DNA and then making something out of that within the confines of the simulation. That happens all the time, but originally, from the beginning, each simulation always has the right, and has to, in a sense, create one of their own species. Once that happens, then others can come in and do things with that creation, or add to it, or add their own and start their own experiments. But it's not, according to the universal law, allowed to run experiments on a planet that has a simulation but has not created life yet. So there are plenty of planets that don't have simulations, and then, yes, other species run experiments on them. But once there is a simulation, and Gaia had her desire to learn about reality through having a simulation of conscious beings then playing within her parameters, that means she had to create her own species first. And over a long period of time, so we're talking about like 500 million years ago, I believe, the planet looked very different. So think of it like there were no birds, there were no large animals, there were barely plants, like big leafy things, and some trees, but kind of bush-like things. Climate was very wet towards the equator and towards the poles, you know, cold, just like here, but it was sort of wet climate in the middle. There were two continents instead of as many as we have now, so they didn't separate yet. There were two big masses, one somewhere in a territory where the South America is right now, and another one towards the South Pole, so kind of like when Antarctica is, and if you imagine it being joined to where India is. So there were two things like that sitting on a planet, the rest was ocean. So there were a lot of marine life and crustaceans and things like that, and some animals on the ground, but they were small. And one of them, there were turtles and all sorts of creatures that came on Earth, onto the soil to live that way. And one of them was sort of a lemur-like creature. So they were small, they were furry, and they ate more sort of plants and leafy things, and sometimes small fish. So that's the animal that then progressed in consciousness, and that is what Gaia made their first conscious creatures when they have evolved. So just like if you think of a human being and original blueprint for that mammal that we're in now is essentially a monkey one way or another with lots of other stuff, right? So the Kishan blueprint, which was like a human, little human, was originally a lemur. They did not come from primate. They came from a lemur type of, not a monkey, lemur. So as what they look like, they were small, about 3 feet tall. They were kind of like us in a sense, human, two hands, 2 feet, walking vertically. They did not have tails. They had round head, very sort of perfect round. They did not have fur on them anymore. Originally they did, obviously, as species they evolved from. But as conscious people, they did not. They had fur in the upper part of their body a little bit, like along the spine and then into the head. And their fur was sort of silvery with green in it. So it stuck around kind of in this really funny way all around their heads. And they had ears that were kind of pointy and up, and they had tufts of hair on the ears. They had really big eyes, and they were perfectly black because the iris of the eye occupied the entire eye. They had three eyelids, two this way and one, the third eyelid covering that way because the sun was very bright and this haze around everywhere. So that was how their eyes were protected. They had six digits. We have five. They had six. And their feet looked like five toes and then one sort of to the side in a way how monkeys now have when they walk like that. So that's a slight difference from how our blueprint is. They had one extra digit. They did not have a nose the way we do. It was sort of flat on their face and just two nostrils, but they had incredible sense of smell, but it just was not protruding. They did have mouth with teeth and they ate. They could chew food. As I said, their ears were pointy, so they had very good hearing, and their ears were kind of proportionally to their head quite large and sort of stuck out kind of in a not quite perpendicular, but sort of. They were kind of cute looking. In a sense, they look similar to what Yoda in Star Wars looked like. Their skin color was, if you can imagine, the color of hay. You know how hay is sort of a yellow with some white and maybe some brown? That was their skin color. Not a uniform tone, but kind of like that. Probably because they evolved among tall grasses, and grass was kind of a between green and yellow, so their fur was sort of more green towards silver, and their skin was kind of yellow-brown. So when they lost fur as they evolved, they just kept that color skin. Their culture was quite enormous. We never hear of them because they have ascended. They actually moved off this planet at some point, and they did it pretty quickly in 56 or 54,000 years. So that's like that. That's lightning of a time for a civilization to do. The reason they could do that was because they were so connected to Gaia. So Gaia and them were essentially one unit. Now, they are not the soul of Gaia. They are another soul group, not an Earthling soul group. So you can think of it like a starseed soul group in a sense, because they're from somewhere else, not from Earth. But that was their first form, sort of like the virgin form for them and the virgin creation for Gaia. So you can say they were the first Earthlings, I guess, before the Earthlings that we think of now as the human soul group. So Kikshans evolved in very harmonious society. They had families that sort of shared their reality. Because they did not have speech the way we do, they had sort of a telepathic sound communication, kind of like a beluga whale nowadays when they have sounds that we can't hear, but they can. So it's the same thing there. Their whole brain was calibrated for that. They had incredible intricacy with sounds. They could make patterns, kind of like very high literature language. Well, it was in a form of sound, but not audible sound that we would hear, although they could make some sound physically. Most of their communication was that way. So because of it, they always felt one another, and they always felt the planet. They always knew when was something going on the planet, where if there's going to be an earthquake, or if there's going to be some sort of a adjustment of how the water moves through the river, let's say, or the flood. At the time, the rivers, there were a lot of rivers, and they kept flooding, so they had to constantly avoid the floods and survive the floods by climbing up. So because their civilization evolved by climbing upwards in order to avoid water, they developed a culture that built the same way. Their houses were circular and they were towers. So usually it would be three stories with a pointy roof on top. The roof would be made of hay or those grasses, big leaves. The house itself was on stilts because the floods would come up and down, so this way that doesn't destroy the house. The walls were sort of plaster made of clay from the water, from the rivers, and painted any color you can think of. They were so into color. So those towers had round windows. They didn't comprehend the concept of a straight line or a 90-degree angle. Everything was round because they were originated by Gaia, and Gaia is so much about circular, right? All-inclusive and round. So they knew that Gaia was a planet. They knew that she was a ball, and they were living on the ball because they were in such a communication with her. So anyway, back to their houses. They had round doors. They had round windows. The entire house was round as a tower. In the middle, it had a hole in each floor and a spiral staircase going up. So that's how they lived. They were a very creative society. They did not have jobs the way we do. There were sort of two things. One was creative, so every individual would just create something that they wanted. And another part was maintenance of their structures. So they maintained the houses and they maintained their roads. Because everything would flood all the time, they had to come up with ways to connect one village to another. And they were so about connection, and everything was essentially one big family, so that they built roads on stilts as well. So it's kind of like how nowadays we see highways on those really tall posts. That's what their roads were. They actually created a lot of connection like that throughout the whole continent. They built boats, and at some point they were in a northern continent, so they went into the south one, created their satellite of their civilization there, and explored a lot. They planted their grasses in the south continent so they can have their food. They were vegetarian. They just ate plants, essentially. So the main part of their culture was the fact that they connected to a very harmonious idea of Mother God and the Father God. It, to them, was not directly the parents that were biologically birthed them. They were sort of biologically just like everything on Earth, two coming together to produce a baby. So that was a normal pattern, so they would know who biologically they came from within community, but they did not see these two people as their parents. They saw the whole community as essentially part of their parents, and the whole world also as part of their parents, because that's the template that Gaia originally has. So their view of the Father God was essentially the creative force that pushes them forward, that encourages them to make something happen. And their view of the Mother God was the support and love and essentially living in beauty and paradise and creative energy. And then they share that with each other all the time. Their civilization evolved, and as it evolved, it progressed into consciousness on the different levels within the third dimension. So they learn how to utilize their sound for self-healing. So then their bodies would, you know, maintain themselves quite nicely. They did live and they did die, but they did not see that as the end because they were so connected to Gaia that from their perspective, and Gaia was the host of the planet at the time, so it was the being that they were, you know, linked to. So they didn't see death as an issue. It was just like, oh, I'm going to go visit the other side of life, and oh, now I'm going to come back. When the new baby would come back, and, oh, yay, welcome back. Everybody would just welcome them. It was the same soul group coming back all the time. They did procreate a lot. Each family had usually 12 children. So they multiplied a lot and covered a lot of the ground with their civilization. But that also allowed them cumulatively produce enough sort of force to move their civilization upwards. They learned to use sound as technology. They have never built any external technology, but their internal technology in their brain developed to such an extent that they could use sound to make things happen. Like, let's say if we want to cut the rock, we would have to use some tool to cut it. If we want to carry it, we have to pick it up and use something again to drag it maybe to a different location. What Kishans would do is they would come together as a community, they would resonate a sound into that rock, they would shape it with the sound by holding their intention and a clear vision of what they wanted, and then they would make that rock anti-gravity-wise, change the gravity polarity. So this way the rock will be sort of floating over the ground and kind of on the, like, not too high, but enough that it was not heavy anymore because the gravity was changing the polarity. That could be easily moved, and then the gravity changed again, and then it plopped into place, whatever they needed. They did the same thing with wood. So they build boats, really long boats, actually. And that's how they expand their civilization and went into the oceans as well. And they did that by trees were very rare. So when they would find a big enough tree to do it, they would resonate all this love and connection into this tree that was dead, that fell down, and then resonate the sound to shape the fibers of the wood. So when we think of making a boat, we think of taking a dead tree and cutting something in it. So we're breaking the fibers. The way they taught is nothing is ever broken and the tree fibers are still there. So all you do is you bend them. So they would actually bend the tree as if it grew in the form of a boat, which of course it didn't, but they would bend it like that. So anyway, that was an incredible civilization. And at some point they came to the higher level of understanding of reality. And that's where Gaia allowed interconnection of them to external species, sort of like the quarantine of them learning was over. At that point, they could understand the entire solar system. They could understand beyond. They could have contact with the solar council and with other planetary consciousnesses and Sirius, star Sirius. That was their link. So the first beings that came to Earth to interact with them were Sirian felines, Urma. So felines, as I said before, in different places, they usually don't travel in the body. They travel in consciousness. So this was one of those rare things when they actually opened portals and literally walked in here. They developed part of their DNA here. That was a side project. And they had quite large animals here that look like feline, maybe 6 to 12 feet long, big beings. So you can see two little 3 feet tall Kishans. These cats must have been the most amazing thing in the world. So anyway, at that time, the Kishan civilization moved its consciousness to the fourth dimension. That's where they build the grid in a 4D that is supportive of this harmonious understanding of family dynamics, sort of the imprint of the mother god, father god, in the bigger sense, when nobody owns children, when children are part of the community and the community constantly creates something for the benefit of the community. Like the concept of individuality was attached to creativity, not to I want something separate from someone else. They never went into separation. That never happened to that culture. So probably that's why they evolved so fast. And when they shifted to the fourth dimension, they just shifted onto that amazing 4D grid that they have created. So they lived in the 4D of our planet for a really long time. And then at some point, they moved on beyond. And right now, they're actually in the ninth dimension, if you believe it. So that's like, wow, okay, that's almost the Kaddish to Guardians level. So there are parts of their civilization, the masters of their society, that have advanced that high up. Majority of them are in the 6D, and they now all over, they travel. They don't travel in spaceships, they travel in consciousness, they open portals the way that Sirian felines taught them how to travel, so they don't have spaceships. Anyway, what we're doing, though, is we're connecting to the grid that they left behind, this 4D grid that exists on our planet, even though they don't anymore, but that is an imprint that if we connect to that, we get a natural flow of energy of being parented right. We get this, oh, this is the proper sort of mother and a proper father for me. That has nothing to do with my genetic family, my family of origin, if you were adopted. But whatever you grew up with, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the ultimate template of the most harmonious way of how it's sort of meant to be, like the thing that we never quite get. That way we can heal in us anything that didn't fit this proper parameter. In other words, we sort of like switch our inner child neediness that wants the parents to give him or her what he or she didn't get. And instead, we can get it directly from this abundance template that the 4D Kishan template that exists on Earth. Think of it like a parenting family template that is perfect in the masculine and feminine balance. The ultimate sort of parenting for all the children. That's the template that they build and utilize for their own civilization. And you can see how well that worked out. So that's what we want to apply to ourselves and connect to that fourth dimensional template. So there you have it. Now you know about Kishans that probably nobody else knows. So congratulations, you're in a really rare group of people. All right, I'll talk to you next time in the meditation about that 4D template.